Welcome to the road to growth, success of an entrepreneur.
We've raised the bar.
Learn firsthand from successful business owners and create your own path to success.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
It's time to hit the road to growth with team lead of the Enriquez Group, Realtor Vinny.
Hi, you Road to Growth listeners. Today I have Ryan, serial entrepreneur, U.S. Army vet. Thank you for being here. I know author too. I didn't put that in the notes, but author also. So, but thank you, Ryan, for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vinny. Great to see you.
What do you take most pride in? Writing the book, U.S. Army vet?
Man, I'd say just being a dad is my big one right now. I got a 13-year-old and a 3-year-old. They're my priority. And then kind of everything else goes underneath. Obviously, wife, family.
Yeah. So 13 and 3?
Yep. Yeah, we took a decade off in between the two. So, yeah.
what's harder, basically? Because was it the teens, right? The starts getting a little tough, and then like as they're younger, they're starting to run around. I mean, what's harder, 13 or 3?
Oh man, my 13-year-old is like a 40-year-old. He's like super responsible. He's like a third parent. So, so I have friends that have 13-year-olds, and that's not the experience. But we're lucky so far. That could change. You know, this is that puberty age. So, 14, yeah. You could be a completely different kid. We'll see.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, walk me through. So what's, I mean, and again, with individuals that have a variety of different titles, I guess, I always like to ask, what's your elevator pitch? I just want to ask you, what do you do? Is there like something you throw out?
Yeah. Broadly, construction technology. My background, I was a, ex-military guy, got out, did what I could do when I got out, which was basically manual labor. And so I started a hauling company, turned it into a pretty good sized demolition general engineering company, sold that because my body was breaking down, and started to other companies that are sort of more technology related. And so that's where I spend most of my time.
So rewind. So how long were you in the military for? What got you in the military in the first place?
3 years, and I had no direction. When I graduated from high school, I kind of just was, you know, working in restaurants and, you know, didn't have money for college and wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. And so I thought, well, I'll just sign up and, you know, I got a guaranteed duty station to Germany and, you know, ended up in Bosnia and then came out and had the college fund and went to school and got a degree. And so that was a decent path for me.
Do you feel like those 3 years helped give you time, I guess, to figure out what you wanted next? Or when did you kind of get a understanding of which kind of direction you wanted to go?
Yeah, I mean, you go in the military, you learn really quickly what you don't want to do. So that was helpful for me. I thought, well, I don't really want to work for someone else after being in the military, because I don't really like people sort of telling me how to do things and not to do things. And so I like creating my own systems and have my own way of doing things. And so so that was super valuable. And then also just to, you know, the money for college that I wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I was able to get a scholarship to university as well. So it was a really good move for me.
Okay. So you go to college. What was your major?
Business and economics, double major.
Okay. So business and economics. But then you said when you first started in construction, you're doing more labor, right? Work?
Yeah, so I when I got out of the military, went to college. While I was in college, I started, it was a hauling and junk removal company, basically just cleaning up construction sites. Yeah. And by the time I graduated from college, that had turned into, you know, a 10 truck operation. I had probably 15 guys working for me. And so I decided I would stick that out. And then over time, it was like I bought a Bobcat, I bought a little excavator, bought some roll-offs, 10 wheelers, and just sort of the trucks and the equipment kind of grew and grew and grew over the years. And so, 14, 15 years later, I sold that company.
What do you, I mean, in I guess starting that company and building that company, what was the biggest like thing you had to work through, that biggest struggle? Was it managing people? Was it getting the business? Was it doing the work? What was the biggest issue, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, people is always a problem, particularly in construction. And I'll say back then, that was in the early 2000s, it was much easier to find people. Now it's even worse. I have a lot of struggles. I just, you know, there was financing issues, you know, trying to buy big, heavy, you know, dump trucks and tractors without, you know, having any financial backing behind me. You know, I was a sole owner, didn't have any business partners, didn't have any investors. So that was a problem. So I really just bootstrapped the whole thing. That was pretty challenging. And then, you know, there were physical challenges too. I had, at 7 years into running the business, I had grown a very successful business. I had a terrible accident that took me out for, I was in a wheelchair for quite a while and was, you know, wasn't able to be out in the field with working with my guys and thought I was going to lose my business, had to pull it together in a whole nother way. And so that was extremely challenging, but it was also a huge, you know, growth opportunity for me. And it has sort of reflected into the businesses that I run today.
Okay. So what did that growth opportunity look like? Was it more so putting more weight on the people, or what did that look like?
Yeah. So I was a typical contractor before that, where I was wearing 30 hats. You know, I was pulling permits. I was bidding jobs. I was writing contracts. I was operating equipment. I was driving trucks. I was jackhammering. I was swinging sledgehammers. I was doing everything. And I got one morning, one of the trucks actually it was a guy downloading a tractor off of a truck, with one ton dually crew cab pulling a 10,000 pound trailer, broke free down a hill, ran me over, drug me underneath the truck, crashed into a car, jackknifed, pulled myself out. My femur sticking out of my jeans. My tibias snapped in half. My lungs were punctured. My ribs were broken, shoulder shattered. It was bad. Went to trauma surgery for 12 hours. They put me back together, kept me alive. And suddenly I couldn't go out and do everything anymore. And so I luckily I'd hired really good people, and they really stepped up, and I kind of just had to just start tasking them out. And so, you know, from sitting behind a computer screen, try to run my business, which I'd never done before. I was, you know, as military, as a lead from the front. And so now I'm sort of from the back. I'm like, how do I do this? And so I had to create new systems, hire some new people, retrain some of the existing people, and basically restructure my entire business, all while the housing market was collapsing and the industry was sort of falling apart. And so it was extremely challenging. And so it took me 2 years, 6 surgeries of putting everything back together again. But I came out of it much stronger, and my business was much stronger as well, more profitable, really dialed in on some niches, even started a new business, which was a recycling business, had a couple of recycling centers. We were recycling millions of pounds of electronics every year. It was a great profit center. Started doing property preservation to keep the guys busy because there was all the foreclosures happening. And so it was a fight. And I'm always up for a good fight.
Was there ever a point in time where you were thought about like quitting the business, giving it up, and kind of going another direction?
Yeah. I mean, that was initially when I'm laying in a hospital bed, I just thought, well, okay, I guess I better do something else. I just assumed I would be going bankrupt. But then it was like, I had leveraged the one asset that I had into starting this business. And it was just, I was a workhorse. I love manual labor. And once I lost that, I didn't really know what I was going to do. And so, you know, I felt pretty frantic to find a way to make this thing work. You know, I had spent 7 years growing it, and I didn't want to lose it. So it was just, like I say, it was a fight.
Okay. So you're expanding that business. When did you start thinking about, okay, selling it and kind of going a different direction?
Yeah. So I was in my late 30s at this point, you know, and I felt like I needed to make a decision. If I wanted to stay in the construction industry, and doing what I was doing, there was a lot of commitment. I needed to buy new trucks. I needed to take it to another level. And my heart wasn't into it. My body was kind of breaking down. I'd had the accident. I wasn't as physically capable as I was when I was in my 20s when I started. And I could kind of just see the writing on the wall that this was, that I was ready to try something else. And so I ended up selling the business in 2014 without really knowing what I was going to do. But you know, I took a couple of systems out of that business and started a couple more businesses, and they've worked out pretty well. I started a drafting company just because we used to do a lot of construction drafting for permitting. And so that's gone well. And then also an online dirt exchange, because dirt was always a problem in the construction industry. And so we've been bringing some order to that industry. So the pivot has worked out, but it was a scary transition.
Before we switch over, I guess, into those two businesses, with the, because selling a business, as you probably were, and you probably speak better about it, right, is it can be a long process. And sometimes you think your business is worth more than it actually is, right? So there's a process kind of that goes with it. When you first thought about the idea of selling it to the time you actually sold it, how long was that time?
Yeah. So first step was call some brokers. And every broker that I talked to said, oh, you've got a construction company. Your company is worth what your equipment's worth. And so I said, well, if that's the case, I'll take it to an auction. There's no point in taking the liability. So instead, I'll just sell it myself. So I listed it myself. And I had a couple of buyers that entertained. I wanted to operate in complete transparency. So I said, jump in my truck, let's go to work. And so I had one guy that came to work with me for like 3 months, and he was waiting to sell a gas station. So he'd have the funds to purchase this one, and fell apart, didn't happen. And then eventually I had another buyer come in where the guy was well capitalized, and you know, he was really excited about the opportunity, but it still took several months to put the deal together. There was a lot of diligence to be done, but it ended up being a successful sale.
Was it, were they correct, or were they wrong? Was the property worth more than just the
Yeah, it was worth a lot. It was worth a lot more. The thing was that I had, during the 7 years after my accident, I got really serious about the way that I structured my business. It was 2008. I read Tim Ferriss's 4-hour work week, not because I wanted to work for 4 hours, but I wanted to learn about efficiency. And I injected a lot of efficiencies in this business where my profit margins were almost double like the industry standard. So the company made a lot of money, and I sold on a multiple, but you know, it wasn't a huge multiple, but it was like somewhere between 2.5 and 3x multiple, which was certainly more than what my equipment was worth. So it worked out for me. I'd never sold a business before, so it was sort of a lot of blind faith, but like I said, it worked out.
Knowing what you know now, I mean, if you were going to sell another business, or at least someone listening right now was thinking about selling their business, what steps would you take now to maximize the return?
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to sell your business, you know, pay attention to all your ad backs and things. You know, it's not as easy as just saying, hey, I spend all this money on this truck I don't include, and this marketing I don't include. That was just an experiment. It's like tightening up your books and making sure your bottom line is very, very strong. So, you know, don't write all your meals and entertainment off. Don't write up, like, just take a year of like really making that bottom line big and beefy, because that's what people are going to look at for a multiple. And then, I mean, there's a lot of different things that, you know, there's more than just bottom line that makes a company valuable. You know, you want to have, you know, very strong online presence, you know, with great SEO and great customer reviews and all of the other IP to wrap it all up to just make it irresistible to someone.
Gotcha. And so, okay, now you sell the business, you get some good funds, not ready to retire, late 30s?
Bought a motorhome, traveled across the country for, I don't know, a couple months. That was fun. Yeah, certainly not ready to retire. Honestly, I'd say, after coming back from, you know, I was up in the Bay Area at the time, ended up moving to Southern California about a year later. And then I really started to get the itch of like, I need to do something. Like, I can only go when somebody walks on the beach and read so many books. And you know, like almost to the point of depression, where I was like, I need to work. And so that's when I started diving back in.
What was you need to work? What was that next? Was it calling friends up? Was it kind of writing down ideas? I mean, what did that look like?
Yeah, what do I know how to do? And it's like, well, I spent 15 years in construction. I know how, you know, there were certain processes, and there was a lot of inefficiencies in construction that I solved for, just because I like systems. I'm a systems person. And so I just started looking at some of the systems that I'd had and just broke them off and created businesses out of them. So it wasn't anything too revolutionary. It was just like here's a gap in the market, I'll just fill it. And that worked out pretty well.
And what have you seen being the best way of getting the word out about these different entities?
The best way, I mean, I'm a customer service fanatic. I just service customers. I create really, really good, easy, intuitive products. And you know, people refer me and they like me, and it's just grown organically. Again, bootstrapped, because that's what I know how to do. I don't like to raise money. I don't want to work for a venture capitalist. So it's a little bit slower than a lot of the tech bros. You know, their startups, they want to hyper scale and ramp like crazy and raise a bunch of money. I just have no interest in that.
Is this one of the reasons, I guess, being on podcasts out there, writing the book? I mean, is there a correlation? Is it a separate thing? Is it a passion project? What is that?
Yeah. The book was about, it was actually really about what I went through with my accident. It was before I was really what I call the hustle trap. That's the name of my book.
Yeah.
I was sort of stuck in the hustle trap. I was a typical, you know, solopreneur, entrepreneur, where I'm running like crazy, wearing a lot of different hats. you know, juggling a million different things without really going back to the foundation of my business and building what that core is, or the core systems, or the processes, or the hire rate. And like, I didn't understand all that stuff, and I didn't need to, because I was out working. And so it wasn't until I couldn't work anymore that I went back and started rebuilding it. And so I've worked with a lot of small businesses, particularly service businesses. And so I have, you know, notes and notebooks and books, like just so much information. And I finally just said, you know, I was living in Colorado at the time, it was during COVID. And I said, you know, I should take all this information and just actually make something useful out of it. And so that was sort of the beginning of what the book writing process was. So it came together. And so now when people say, hey, can you help me with this? Instead of taking a bunch of my time to go find my notes and sit down with them, go over, I go, yeah, I can help you. And I just hand them a book. Great.
Do you have a plan to ever get into like coaching or anything more in that sector, help people out? Or
I do some coaching, pretty selective. Okay. Because, one-on-one coaching, you can't charge a whole lot of money for it. And so you really have to have a passion for it. And yeah. So if there's somebody who I know that I could be very useful to, and I know that they're going to take it seriously and actually act on suggestions and things, then I'll do it. I also do quite a bit of consulting, which organizational consulting.
So when you're talking about, okay, the two businesses, writing the book, I mean, doing coaching, consulting, I mean, that seems like it would take up a lot of your time, or are some of these more of kind of back burner things that you're not on the day-to-day stuff with, or what does that look like? I guess
I have a pretty big team. Okay. I've got probably around 50 full-time people working for me across the companies. And so, you know, I spend my time really sort of directing everybody and looking at efficiencies, creating new softwares. Everything is, I'd say the one I put the least amount of energy in is probably the coaching, consulting, the book stuff. Because I don't know. It all requires a lot of the social media stuff, and I just don't like it, to be honest.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it can be a tough pill to swallow. I mean, but it's the necessary evil, I guess.
It is. That's the thing. That's what I fight against. You know, realistically, the personal brand expands all the other businesses that you do, and opens opportunity and deal flow. And I mean, there's a lot of benefits that come from a personal brand that I'm very aware of. I just don't like the vehicles that you have to use to get that going. I mean, I don't want to spend my time on social media. You know, I just doesn't feel right to me. Maybe it's something with being a Gen Xer.
I hear you. It's just it's a cog in the wheel that you got to do and to deal with. Yeah. So what's your why? What's your big why that kind of pushes you? What gets you excited? Is it solving problems, building systems? I mean, what's that thing that pushes you?
I'm a value add person. I spend everything that I do, I try to add values to my employees, to my house, you know, to my household, to my family, to my kids. I've been spending a lot of time in prisons lately, like mentoring guys, you know, as they are getting ready to exit, to get out, and giving them soft skills and, you know, helping them leverage their unique abilities into an entrepreneurial endeavor. Because a lot of times they have a hard time getting jobs. And so help them with startups, same thing with veterans when I can. I feel like just getting out and adding value is what fulfills me. I've been through a lot, but I've also been able to leverage a level of success through just leveraging what I have within me. You know, I mean, to the point where when I got out of the military, I, you know, within 2 weeks, my parents' house burned down. I was living in my car and, like, you know, just didn't have anything and just sort of had to fight, with nothing. And I know how to do that. And I could do it over again if I had to. So
you just brought up a second ago was the speaking in jails. What brought that upon?
So I've really tried to give more time to veterans, just because I, you know, I'm a veteran and I love the community and I think the guys they deserve it. Unfortunately, it's really hard to find organizations where they need my help. and to track down the guys at the right time when they get out of the military to mentor them. And I found this organization called Defy Ventures. And I thought, well, these guys are in a similar situation that, you know, they're coming out, having to start from ground zero and, you know, just having to work and, you know, but having a hard time with adjusting society and everything. And so when this organization asked me to come and speak and to help them mentor, and I did it, I just felt like my skill set was sort of uniquely qualified to help them. And so it just, it's very fulfilling to me. And it's a place that I feel like I can make a change. Just to give you an idea, the recidivization rate of the people, of the EITs, their entrepreneurs in training that we train through the prisons, the recidivization rate is like something like 10%, whereas the normal population is like 60%. And so the effectiveness of this program is off the charts, which to me, that's the most important thing, is the impact.
I know you're probably speaking to these individuals hours and hours, right? Is there something if you broke it down, kind of words of wisdom that maybe you can provide to the audience that you kind of tell them, hey, these are things that you should be aware of if you're trying to start your own business?
Okay. Well, it depends on the person. So, you know, a lot of your listeners are probably more proactive entrepreneurs that are trying to grow a business. And so they have a real entrepreneurial mindset. It could be a lot different there. A lot of them are more going to be the self-employed types. So they're going to be, they're a guy who knows how to do stuff with his hands. He can be a handyman. He's probably not going to grow a company of 20 or 30 people. So what I tell him is probably different than what I might tell your listeners. What I tell him is like, hey, you know, go out, service your customers. Here's the basic marketing you can do. Look for a referral network. Make sure you take care of everybody. You know, show up in clean clothes, like, you know, different ways to speak. But for an entrepreneur, somebody who's looking to grow a business, for me, it's all just about taking care of the customer. That's it. It's like, it's really that easy. And somehow people screw that up. It's all about the money. People go into a business thinking, okay, business is about making money. My job is to go out and make money. It's not. Your job is to go out and create value. If you create $2 million worth of value, you'll make a couple million bucks. That's just how it works. But if you just go out and go, I just want to make $2 million, you're probably going to fail. So you have to like genuinely be about providing value.
Yeah, I mean, I was just talking to someone today about that, but Jim Rohn talking about the idea that you get enough people what they want, you'll get what you want. I think he had a talk too about why is someone worth X amount when someone else is worth this? It's because they're offering more value.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all the stuff you watch on like YouTube and Instagram. If you're going through, you see everybody like, oh, I made $60,000 last month by doing this. And here's how you can do it too. So they're coming at it like as I'm going to go extract value from people, money. And if you go into the world looking to extract value from people, it's not going to end well for you. You might get a few wins along the way, but it's not sustainable in the long run. So if you go out into the world saying, I'm going to go put value into the world, it's always going to return it back to you.
Totally agree. I mean, if we were talking in 5 years, I know we kind of preached on this up for a little bit, but if we're talking about 5 years from now, where do you see kind of your next brands going? What do you have aspirations towards in the business world?
I don't know. You know, what's so funny is I'm a group of several different, member of several different groups, Entrepreneur Organization, Genius Network, and a handful of others. And there's so many people in there that have these giant goals and projections and like in 5 years, I'm going to do X, Y, Z. I just always do my best and see where it takes me. And that way I'm never disappointed by the results. Usually it's the other way around where I'm like, wow, I can't believe I accomplished that. That's pretty good. Like if every day I go to work and just sort of do my best, that pans out. And so it probably won't work for a lot of people because a lot of people want, to have, $1 billion. I live very, very well. I don't worry about anything. I've got a motorcycle. I've got an RV. I've got, get new cars for the family. I'm able to pay cash for everything. I've got a great house and a great neighborhood. Like I don't need a whole lot more. So I'm just going to continue doing what I'm doing and hope that I can add value to the world, like doing things like this, podcasts and sharing, some things that I've learned over the past 25 years as an entrepreneur.
I appreciate that insight because I truly feel like that's how I look at things too. And I feel like I almost have like a North Star about kind of like where I want to kind of go in that direction. And it seems like yours is kind of helping other people. Is that kind of really fair to say?
I think that's where I feel the best is when I'm giving value to other people. Okay. When I start to, if I start to twist it and start just working on just making money to make myself richer or something, I get zero joy or satisfaction out of that.
So, so if you saw like an opportunity, someone like one of your friends or someone you know was like, "Hey, I have this opportunity to give more value to people in your kind of sector." How do you dissect that opportunity? What do you ask? What kind of questions kind of do you have to give to that person?
I'm not sure. I totally.
So let's say, I mean, because I'm assuming at least, I mean, from my experience, people that are successful like yourself, right? They always get opportunities thrown their direction, right? And it's on. It's on you, right? As an individual, say this not is not right for me. This is right for me. I mean, are there questions that you ask that person to go, I don't really want to be affiliated. Yeah. I don't have the time for it. I mean, what is that?
Yeah. Kind of okay. Like? So yesterday, a friend called and said he has a friend that has a cabinet shop that really needs my help, and he's looking for some consulting. And so I said, well, and I explained sort of how I do my consulting. And he's typically minimum of 40-hour engagement, you know, pricing and everything. But I finished up the back end of it was, but I could really use some cabinets at my house. So so maybe we could work out like some sort of a trade out. You know, why don't you come over and we'll just like, that's the way I look at things like that. You know, hey, that way he can, it's probably instead of him spending, you know, $30,000-$40,000 with me, maybe it only cost him $10,000 to create some cabinets for me. And I'm happy and he gets value and I get value what I want. And like, because that's more the way that I would think about something like that. And I do, I get just random opportunities like that all the time. And I just try to be creative because it's not just about money. There's often things that are better than money.
Yeah. I mean, make sense. Thank you, Ryan, for being here today. If anyone's listening and they're looking to get more information about you, about your different platforms, I mean, is there like a straight website, Instagram? I know you're not that much social media, but what's the best way for people to go to find stuff about you?
Sure. I am on social media. I'm out there. You can go RyanCrownholm.com and catch up with me there. And then Ryan Crownholm across all platforms at Ryan Crownholm, and also at The Hustle Trap. If you want to keep up with The Hustle Trap, I have, you know, a lot of content that goes up there. Dirt Match. If you've got any dirt you want to get rid of, hit me up on Dirt Match. You got a place for it. Reach out.
And Dirt Match, for people listening right now, it's really easy to use. I was on there for about 20 minutes, but just kind of diving deeper, and it's pretty straightforward, pretty simple. So if you have some dirt, get on Dirt Match.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, Ryan, for being here. Hopefully everyone listening got some great information and great nuggets. I mean, focus on one thing and you can expand it to wherever you want to expand it to. Thank you guys. Please subscribe, please share, and go find
Ryan. Thank you for listening to The Road to Growth, Success of an Entrepreneur. Please like, subscribe, and stay connected. Visit www.theenriquezgroup.com.
Yeah, I created a website.
Hope to see you again next week. The Enriquez Group, signing off.